Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
All right, Beaver to Philly, 106.7 The Fan, coming to you live here from Ashburn at Commanders Park. And we're going to go right to the BetQL guest line and talk to our friend, Barstool Nate. Nate, what's up, brother? How you doing, brother?
B-Mitch, I'm seeing you everywhere on Twitter this morning. Everywhere.
Saw me?
People are talking about what you're talking about.
Oh, what I'm talking about?
Talking about someone in the wide receiver room having bad
body
language. All
I'm saying is that some people got to go out there and play instead of pouting.
All right.
People,
hello,
people
Eric.
People want to know who you're talking about, B-Mitch.
I don't hear Eric anymore. He disappeared.
All right. Nate Dogg, you there?
Yes, sir. How are you, JP?
We're good, man. Let's start with the news of the
day. What happened here? This thing cut off?
Do you really not hear him?
No, I don't hear him.
Okay. I try to figure B-Mitch's return audio out. Nate, what'd you make of the Martavis Bryant signing?
I mean, I think it's a bigger statement that they aren't happy with the wide receiver room than them saying that he's going to come in and be some franchise changer. You know, he hasn't played an NFL game in, 5 to 6 years now, since 2018. He was on the Cowboys practice squad last year. Before that, he bounced around in Toronto, Massachusetts Pirates, Edmonton Elks, Vegas Vipers. And then I guess the Dallas Cowboys are about the same wavelength as those teams. So he hasn't really done much in a long time. I think the more interesting thing is he has to just, you know, have so much raw talent that you can be suspended from the league for a year, bounce around to all these different leagues, and still keep getting chances in the NFL. And right now, you know, this Commanders wide receiver room needs all the help they can get. So I'm fine with it. I don't think it's going to be anything much. You know, if he makes the team, what's he good for? 20 catches, you know? Like, it won't be anything crazy, but it's always good to have a 6'4" machine in your wide receiver room.
It is remarkable with Bryant that, you know, he was awesome almost 10 years ago. It was 2014 and 2015, and they still want to bring him back. And honestly, I mean, just watching him briefly run around, in no way did he look like he didn't belong out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was big at Clemson. He's never had, you know, then he goes to Pittsburgh, and he just never really, you know, you can read what you read, but there's a reason he's been out of the league, and then there's a reason he's also stuck around the league for so long and just kind of bounced around and is back in another, you know, uniform. So who knows? I think it's more just like he's a big name, and he's always been a guy that people look at as a what if, which is why it's big news, because usually when you sign, you know, a 32-year-old wide receiver whose most career catches in one season is 50, and that happened 10 years ago, it's not news, but for some reason he just moves the needle. So, you know, it's not a huge signing, but it feels bigger than it is.
Would he move the needle if all the receivers here were living up to their hype?
Say that again?
Would he be moving a needle? Is he only moving a needle because it's this team where we have one guy who you know is consistent? You have two other guys who played okay, but there are guys who haven't lived up to their hype. If they were living up to their hype, I don't think they even go out to get him, and I don't think he moves a needle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Dotson, I've been very low on for a while. He doesn't look like he's focused on the field. He has drops where he shouldn't have drops. He thinks that he's Jerry Rice out there when he's just, you know, third-round pick Jahan Dotson, who regressed his sophomore year. Luke McCaffrey, we have no idea what we have in him, rookie wide receiver. Haven't really heard his name much during camp. Hit a couple grabs in the preseason game, but, you know, nothing spectacular. Jameson Crowder is 1,000 years old. Deami Brown is supposed to be a burner, but he can't get any separation on the outside. He actually looked great in the clips I've seen out of camp, better than he's ever looked, but he's still,
you know, what's crazy, Nate, B and I were talking about it this morning. It like, let's just say you you knew nobody's name, right? And that you just you arrived in late July to only watch training camp. The three most impressive receivers at camp, you know, through 3 weeks or however long we've been out here, I'd say, are Terry, Diami, and Zacchaeus. Now, that doesn't mean that's how it'll play out in season. Guys can emerge. Things change. But I think that's a great point from Brian that, like, part of the hype here, and I said this 6 months ago, I said it 2 months ago, I didn't think they had a lot of depth at the receiver position. Mm-hmm. And people like to yell at me about it because they thought I was crazy. Now we're at a point where signing Martavis Bryant, it seems like a big deal. Generally, guys that get signed in mid-August aren't making the roster, and people are like thinking very differently about this.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you on the depth at wide receiver. I want to give Jaden every opportunity and every resource and every bit of talent they can surround him with to ensure that he can have the best possible rookie season that a quarterback can have. And just bringing in more guys, especially a big guy like him with hands, even though he hasn't played in forever, it only helps Jaden, and it also pushes these fringe wide receivers like Dotson, like Diami Brown, like Jameson Crowder, to get better. Like, hey, you want to be here. Now you have another guy you have to beat out. And they might look around and be like, why him? Why this guy? Why'd you bring someone in? Well, if you guys were performing, we wouldn't have to have brought him in. That's the answer. And I think it's, like, glaringly obvious that when you bring in a guy like him, they are not happy with the status quo at wide receiver right now.
I agree with that. And I think signing – if they had signed – let's look at who some of these veteran free agents are, right? Like, has Marquise Goodwin been signed anywhere?
I don't
believe he has. But, like, I think Hunter Renfro is still a free agent, right?
Yeah,
or maybe even a guy like DeVante Parker. There are still free agent guys out there that haven't signed yet that if they brought them in, it'd be like, all right, like, I don't expect much out of it. Bryant, because of – dude, if you go watch the Martavis Bryant highlights, they're bananas. Mm-hmm. Like, the
right,
catches
yeah. –
Like, the acrobatic kind of catches he made. And I just wonder, playing, being a young guy on those Steeler teams, with what we now know about Antonio Brown, and then even a guy like Le'Veon Bell, like, I'm just not so sure this dude got great advice early in his career. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know. Maybe that's oversimplification. I don't know. But, like, the talent with this dude feels so much different than a lot of the other kind of guys you like. Somebody right now, his name used to be Robbie Anderson. It's now Robbie Chosen, right? He just signed somewhere. I believe he just signed. Yeah, I think the Niners signed him. That's adding depth, right? Like, the Niners, nobody's really expecting Robbie Chosen to make the roster. It's just kind of a get-through-camp story. Does this feel different than that, or is it the same? This is just a guy to get through camp with.
I think there is definitely a chance he makes the roster. I think we're all in agreement that we're very unsatisfied with the current crop in the wide receiver room. I mean, Dotson seems like he's fighting for his roster spot by playing deep into the preseason game.
I don't
game.
Think that's accurate. I don't think he's fighting for a
I'm
roster.
I'm so low on him. Maybe I'm just being a hater. I'm so low on Dotson right now. I don't get the idea that he wants to be out there half the time. He seems like a guy, like, let's compare him to Kuznetsov, Evgeny Kuznetsov. Like, all the talent in the world, coasts, kind of gets by on talent alone, but doesn't appear to me that he has that extra drive to want to stick around to become, the man, but he also thinks that he already is. I'm so down on him right now.
So you and I have texted about this. I mean, we can be honest here. I don't agree with you. I certainly don't agree with the lengths you're willing to go in your assessment. But at the same time, I think, last year was an unfortunate step back, and you'd like him to really push through. I don't think signing Martavis Bryant is a direct condemnation of Jahan Dotson and the work he's put in. But I think there's a lot of factors, right? I think they don't have a big guy. They have Bryce and Tremaine, who continues to make nice catches, but Tremaine's not wildly athletic, okay? Martavis Bryant is. I think this is more of a lottery ticket. Yo, Dan Quinn is like, dude, I saw this guy last fall. He looked pretty damn good. He's pretty explosive. Why don't we at least give it a shot? I think it's far more lottery ticket than it is a direct result of the work they've seen from Dotson or McCaffrey or anybody else. That said, if the work from all those guys was fantastic, they might not be worried about a lottery ticket. Do you know what I mean?
Yep, I agree with that 100%. So it's a fun little story that we can follow for the next few weeks, see what happens in the wide receiver room. We don't expect him to go into we don't expect him to go into the Miami preseason game and, you know, bring down 10 balls for 115 yards and, you know, just be
if he does that, then you'll hear me talking like some of y'all, some of these people on his stream I'm looking at. Right now, to me, he's a dude that hadn't played in 6 years. That's where I'm stuck at. I don't care about what he did 9 years ago. I don't care what he did 10 years ago. He's a guy that hadn't played in the NFL in 6 years. That's where my mind is. Because I know guys that don't play 1 or 2 years normally lose a lot. In 6 years, he had to have lost something.
It's crazy that they still brought him in over someone like Juju, who just got released and is a free agent right now. You know, he had a pretty good, solid run in Pittsburgh, and then I think, he went to New England last year. It wasn't great, but, you know, that's a guy under the age of 30 who has not sat out for the last 6 years, and they passed over him. So I find it very fascinating. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, you know, that is interesting. Juju doesn't have the size that Bryant does.
Juju's not tiny, though. He's not tiny. I think he's 6'1". He's over 6 foot for sure.
But, dude, if you bring in Juju, which it's an entirely different thing. We could sit here and have this conversation like, yo, this dude hasn't played in 6 years. The odds of him making an impact are pretty slim. I think the odds of anybody that signs on August 13th making a roster are probably around 10%. And I think maybe Martavis, his odds are 15%, right? Like but if you sign Juju now, you're signing him to be on your roster, most likely. And then, like, if you sign a guy like Juju now, that is a much different – the way Dan Quinn – and I asked him this morning. I made a point of asking him, like, are you kind of trying to send a signal to your receiver room? And he's like, no, man. We compete every position every day. And we're competing the kicker, and we're competing on the O-line, and we're competing in the receiver room because that's how we operate. And he can say that with a straight face by signing Martavis Bryant. You sign Juju Smith-Schuster, that is – you are replacing somebody.
I would much rather them sign Juju and we have these conversations than sign a guy that hadn't played in 6 years and we have these conversations. To be totally honest with you, I would much rather a guy who still can ball out, and you saw him ball out recently, than talking about a guy who hadn't done something in 6 years. 6 years in pro football is like history.
It's an eternity.
it's way, man.
I don't disagree with that either, B. I think specific to Juju, the fact that Kansas City, that he was their leading wide receiver and they had no interest in bringing him back, and then New England, I think last year, released him or he got hurt, whatever that was. Like, I think there's some Juju with Juju. Like,
it might be. But the other guy was gone for 6 years because he couldn't do the right stuff.
Yeah.
So it's some Juju with him, too.
Yeah.
So, listen, man, let's be real. He's here to compete. He is not a big, big conversation in my eyes, to be honest with you. Until he goes out there and really, really just blows it off, blow the top off of something and do some things. I'm going to go, oh, wow, this dude can still go. This dude ain't playing 6 years, bro. I'm a little cautious.
I think that's fair. And you know what else is bananas, especially with a guy like Nate, like our friend Nate on the line? Because of this Bryant thing, Nate Dogg,
yes, sir.
I don't think we got to ask you what you thought of Jaden in his preseason debut.
Yeah, it's funny how dumb we are. We have this all-pro, Hall of Fame-bound rookie quarterback, and we just spent time talking about some washed-up guy who hasn't played an NFL down in a decade. Jaden looked great. You know, if anybody was concerned about him, hopefully that one drive at least brought down your concern level a little, because he looked like he belonged. He looked like an NFL quarterback. He wasn't scared in the pocket. He made the reads. He buzzed the tower. He scored the touchdown. It was everything you could ask for in a preseason debut. I don't care what day it was. We can talk about it being August, blah, blah, blah. There are some people who go in as a rookie and they look like a deer in headlights. There are some people going in as a rookie and they march down the field and score a touchdown. Jaden did not look like a deer in headlights. He looked like he belonged. He was poised. He was accurate. He did everything correctly. There's nothing bad you can say about his debut. I'm glad we have him on our team, and I cannot wait to see you guys at the Super Bowl. Maybe not this year, but in the next few.
It did. I mean, I love you and your hyperbole. I do think when we had David Aldridge on a couple of weeks ago, he said, what I want to see from Jaden is prove to me why you're the guy. And he continues to show us those plays. And not everything's going to happen all at once, and things are going to take time, and I understand all that. But the throw to Diami, and then, I mean, dude, the play at the goal line, to call his own number, to really sell the fake, like, stuff like that matters. And it's going to be really fascinating to watch how this all unfolds. And I think there's so much real optimism with Daniels that fans, like, deserve to have fun with it. You know what I mean? And not go nuts necessarily like the stuff you're saying, but
no,
it's okay to be excited.
It's okay. Yeah, it's okay to have optimism. We shouldn't be scared to say, you know, that our number two overall Heisman winning quarterback might be good. Like, I don't know. In camp, he's looked great. In the one drive in the preseason, he's looked great. Obviously, there will be ups and there will be downs, but I'm going to take the ups. I'm going to say that we have the real deal here. I hope that our offensive line comes together and protects him. I cannot do another, you know, Sam Howell last year looked good, and then he just got murdered, some his fault, some not. But we can't do that again. We need protection for Jaden Daniels. That's my biggest worry about him. It's not his, you know, accuracy. It's not his long ball. It's not his touch. It's, can we protect this guy?
Yeah, I mean, you were texting me about that, or maybe that was on Twitter. I don't know. What we saw today was Cornelius Lucas at left tackle, Wiley back at right tackle. I think that's what you're going to see Saturday night in Miami. I don't know how much we'll see of Jaden. I think it's a little more than a quarter. But I also think it's entirely possible. Those are your actual starting tackles for week one in Tampa. So I think
it looks like it right now.
I think you got to – I think you got
a guy you want to start who had not played.
Right. I think you got to be okay with that, Nate. Are you prepared to be?
It's not ideal, right? Like, we have to call it what it is. It's not ideal that we're debating who should be the starting left tackle, a third-round rookie who with a broken shoulder, Cornelius Lucas, who's fine but struggles at times. And then on the right side, Andrew Wiley, you know, same kind of thing, fine, but obviously has his struggles. You don't. And then what, we go down to the second string, Trent Scott? Like, do we even know who this guy is? So it gets dicey. I would like to be optimistic that, you know, these guys, Cornelius and Wiley, they can be the guys. There's no evidence that says that they are, but they are NFL players for sure. They are fringe starters for sure. They wouldn't start on every team, and that's what worries you when you have, you know, this huge investment at quarterback. You want that stud tackle. You need that stud tackle. We don't have it right now. Is it the end of the entire world with this team? No. Is it a big concern of mine? Absolutely, 1,000% it is.
I think that's fair. I think it's a little too early for some of the proclamations that it ain't going to work, but I understand where they come from. I think you go back a few years and you really wonder about the not taking Christian Darrisaw. Nate Dogg, I'm going to let you run, buddy. I appreciate you making time for us, as always.
Appreciate you guys. Talk to you next week.
All right. Man. That's our guy, Barstool Nate. Here's what we're going to do. When we come back, I want to go to Pittsburgh. I've been fascinated by this Justin Fields-Russell Wilson situation. Every time you think there's some clarity, there appears not to be. Fields was not clean. The operation was not clean in the preseason debut. We're going to go to my guy Alan Saunders that covers the Steelers when we come back. Before we do that, though, B, it's funny, man. I was reading this article yesterday about, remember how hot most of the summer's been, like especially early June when it was almost
scorchous.
It was almost 100 every day.
Yes.
And, you know, the cost of making electricity has gone up with inflation and everything else. And then when it's that damn hot, you have to pay these overages and all this stuff. And I was reading this article that on average, utility bills have gone up significantly for homeowners. And I looked at mine compared to the numbers, and mine had gone up because it was so damn hot. You got to run AC.
But not as much.
But way less than what the average was. And I thought about it. I was like, that's a direct result of getting new windows for Paul Henry because it keeps that cool air in when you got this brutal, hot D.C. summer weather. Working with Paul Henry has made a tremendous difference for me and my family, and I know working with Paul's done the same for you, B.
It's done the same for me because he did both my house and my detached garage. Paul came in to change all the windows, all the doors, and he told me off the bat that it also helped your energy bill go down. It did that for me. Mine might have gone up just a tad bit, but it's probably because I'm plugging in the EV9 all the time. But the ultimate thing is my windows look good. When you look at the house from the inside, and when you look at the house from outside, it looks good. It's just like looking at the eyes of a woman, okay? When you're looking at it from the outside and inside out, you can see everything because the windows are clear.
Yeah.
When you have new windows, it makes the house look much better. Paul does a great job. And JP and I both love him because he's open, he's honest, and he comes in and he does the job professionally the first time, and you don't have to worry about it again. So you can reach out to Paul right now to get $100 off each window with a 5-window minimum and $500 off each door. Contact Paul Hedges Window Installation today and tell him B. Mitch and Finley sent you. PaulHedgesWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Pangin.
Trying to
get me riding dirty.
Ben Standing. Making an appearance in the tent.
Riding dirty.
I have been fascinated by what's going on in Pittsburgh. The Steelers, dude, just have so much talent defensively. Mike Tomlin never has a losing season. And I'm watching almost daily for updates on this Justin Fields, Russell Wilson situation.
Mm-hmm.
Just fascinated. It seemed like Fields was really making progress. Then I think he had a pretty glitchy kind of preseason start. Alan Saunders covers the Steelers for Pittsburgh Steelers Now. He's all over the place. He knows the black and gold. Alan, what up, dude? How you doing?
What's up, man? Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Black and yellow, man.
Black and yellow, pardon me.
Get it right.
Hold
Alan,
on.
Tell him get it right. Black
it was
and yellow.
Black and gold until that song came out. People used to say the black and gold.
It's always been yellow.
This is a generational conflict here in Pittsburgh. I'm not going to anger either group. You can say whatever you want. You're not going to fool me into getting on the record in that discussion.
I've heard Doc Walker say
Alan,
the black
I'm
gonna say
and it gold. For you. I'm going to say it for you. You look at that color, it's not gold. It's yellow.
Well, hell, we call this burgundy and gold. These colors nowadays aren't burgundy or gold.
Red and yellow.
Alan, what the hell is going on up there between Justin Fields and Russell Wilson?
You know, I think they're calling this a competition, but I think, you know, like the state of the competition was, let's just make sure that Russ still looks like Russ. And then if so, then it's going to be his job. And he dealt with a little calf thing early. We haven't seen a lot of them. I do expect to see him in this second preseason game against the Bills this Saturday. But, you know, he looks fine. He looks like the same guy he's been, which is not to say great, but, you know, better than the Steelers have had at quarterback and kind of what they were looking for, steady veteran presence. To put with that defense, they feel like that can be enough to get them back into the playoffs and to have a better chance of winning a game than they felt like they had the last two times they went there. So Justin Fields has been playing, been looking good in camp, had a sort of up and down, you know, only played a couple series, but some you know, a couple fumbles, two sacks, not what you want to see really. And I think the thing with Justin Fields is he looks great in camp, but, you know, the negativity that has been a part of his game isn't going to come out in a training camp setting where he can't get hit. Like, those don't really mean that much compared to those preseason reps he's getting.
So it seems like it's Russ. I don't know how much you've gotten to interact with Russ. Does he seem like an alien is still inhabiting his body, or is he kind of acting like a normal human again?
No, nothing about what I could say about my interactions with Russ are anything like a normal human. And the funny thing is, like, you see it from afar, and you're like, is this all a show? Like, is this being put on? Like is this all just for the cameras and for the media? And it's not. He's genuinely like that. He didn't so the first preseason game, Mike Tomlin ruled him out of playing, like, 5 days before the game, said Russell Wilson is not going to play. He goes to the game. We get there. We're watching warm-ups. He's fully dressed, full pads, got his eye black on, wrists taped up, spat on his cleats. I'm like, okay. So I check in with the guy, like, no, he's not playing. Near the end of the first half, my photographer on the sideline texts me and says, Russ is over here doing, like, high knees and getting warmed up. Is he going to go in? I'm like, no, man, that's just him. I don't, you know, it's not an act either. He's like that all the time. He's like an Energizer bunny. I can see how that personality might not be for everyone, but it's certainly unique.
It seems unique. It really does seem unique.
Wait. He was doing high knees, knowing he's not going to the game.
At the end of first half, in a game that the coach had already ruled him out of playing 5 days before, he's over there just jogging in place.
That reminds me of Robert when he knew
he was
inactive.
That's the guy that's trying to show the fans, I'm a workaholic. I'm always ready.
Yo, you remember the video of Russ doing high knees on the plane?
He was at the first day of training camp. He's out there carrying his helmet around campus. I'm like, there's nobody watching him. That's just who he is, man. I don't know.
He's an alien, bro. Guy. I'm telling you. He's an alien.
Oh, man. This is so funny. This is funny.
What do you make of the Steelers going into a loaded AFC North?
I think their sort of ace in the hole is that they've been very good against the rest of the AFC North. If they can just keep that up, I think they'll put themselves in pretty good shape. They've really done well against Baltimore with Lamar Jackson, better than anybody else has, for sure. They always kind of seem to have Cleveland's number. The Bengals are probably a tough matchup for them, and heck, if they stay healthy, they're a tough matchup for everybody. But I like their chances to come out of the North 3-3, and if they can do that, you know, make some hay in the early part of the schedule. Yeah, they got some tough games late. They got to go to Philly. They got the Chiefs in there. All the division games in the last 10 weeks of the season. But I like their chances of going 500 in the division, and that probably gets them to 9-8, 10-7, somewhere in there, and in line for a wild card berth.
That's that defense is just so good, man. I'll be really curious to watch how it all unfolds for the black and yellow, Brian. I'm talking with our friend Alan Saunders here from Pittsburgh, covers the Steelers. Check him out at @asaunders_PGH. I did want to sneak this one in, though. Washington signed Martavis Bryant today. Martavis Bryant was brilliant in Pittsburgh 10 years ago. He's been out of the league for 6 years. What do you remember from covering him? Like, what the hell happened in Pittsburgh? What do you think he may have left?
You know, he was a great player and a great fit for those Steelers teams who, you know, I've always kind of liked to run the ball and then throw deep. And he was a fantastic sort of deep ball artist. I would call him that. Like he was really, really good at getting open. Great explosive athlete. It just seemed like the maturity wasn't there yet at that point in his life. Suspended multiple times for the substance abuse policy. And I think, honestly, like there's a real untalked about injustice there because, you know, he got suspended, his last suspension, he got suspended indefinitely by the NFL. And I think given what had transpired to that point, that was fair. But then immediately after that, the NFL changed the rules. They don't even test for marijuana anymore the way that they were then. Like like the rules are completely different now. As long as you cooperate with their program, you can't even be suspended for marijuana usage anymore. But he was still banned from the league for 3 or 4 years after that before they finally reinstated him. I remember Cam Hayward, Steelers captain, went on a podcast in the middle of an offseason 1 year and went to bat for him and said, "This is crazy that they're not letting this guy back in the league, considering they've changed the rule that he broke to allow what he was doing to happen now." And so I think he really got a second chance taken away from him in a way, and I'm glad to see that he's getting one now.
Yeah, but the thing about the NFL, to be honest with you, and I know a little bit about it, when you flunk a test, they don't tell you all the drugs that was in there.
Yeah.
So when somebody say, "Oh, it was just marijuana," it probably been some other stuff too, if they really kept it like that.
It's certainly possible, but that was always sort of what was said around the facility and about him was that was the reason he kept failing tests. And so if he ends up coming back, the length of time between his last game and his next game is going to amount to the longest suspension in NFL history.
Yeah. Well, you know what? There is a flip side to that coin, Alan. He could have just stopped smoking weed. You know what I mean?
I agree. The maturity was not what it should have been in the early part of his career. But I'm not sure that should have been the end of it either. You know,
I agree.
I think there's probably a middle ground there.
I think we'll look back as a society, but certainly in the NFL, as a culture that provided opioid painkillers and didn't allow smoking weed in 20 years, or maybe it's happening right now, and just be like, "Yo, what the hell were we thinking? You know, give everybody perks, but don't let them smoke a blunt."
They won't go back and say nothing about it. They're going to keep moving.
I do want it, well, in society, just in football.
Yeah.
One other question. Speaking of perhaps immature receivers, there was talk that Brandon Ayuk was getting traded to Pittsburgh. It was a done deal.
What happened?
It ain't done. Where is that?
Ball's in the 49ers court right now. I think, you know, they are trying to decide which of their bad options they want to choose. They have a deal sort of on the table from the Steelers that they haven't quite said no to. Obviously hadn't said yes to it either. The first thing they did was take a look at the draft picks that the Steelers are offering and ask around the NFL to see what they could get for them, you know, because the draft picks are doing no good to the 49ers. They're trying to win a Super Bowl right now. The Steelers just don't have much else to offer. And then the second thing was, well, okay, if we didn't find anything we like with those, how much is it going to cost if we decide that we'd rather just bite the bullet on bringing him back instead of trading him? And they've re-entered that discussion. And, you know, when you're in the situation, if you remember the Lamar Jackson situation where none of those teams wanted to engage in him because they didn't want to negotiate the Ravens contract for them. Remember, all those teams were like, we're not going to do your dirty work. You muck it up with your own player. You know, the Steelers kind of took a risk in going out there and, They have a deal with Ayuk that if we can acquire you, here's the deal we both agreed to. And, you know, the downside of that is the 49ers could have just said, "Oh, yeah, that deal you made with Pittsburgh, great, we'll take it." And they haven't seemed to. So it doesn't seem like the 49ers like any of their options. At some point, they're going to have to pick one of them. What they do, I'm still not sure.
That's crazy.
Would they include Pickens going to San Fran?
I don't think so. You know, I think the whole point of this trade is that they feel like they need someone to go alongside him, that their number two wide receiver options are not dangerous enough to keep every team on their schedule from double-teaming George Pickens as often as they possibly can. And so I don't think they would offer him because I don't think it certainly Ayuk is a more well-rounded and more experienced and better player, but like it doesn't provide the real benefit they're looking for, which is having a real wide receiver too. I mean, they got Van Jefferson at 400 yards last year, Calvin Austin 5-9. Like, they don't have another real wide receiver two option on this team. I think that's what they're really looking for. So I don't think they can afford to give up Pickens in this trade. I've heard they have offensive linemen. That's about the one, you know, they used a bunch of first round picks, and they've got a couple vets like Dan Moore and James Daniels that are either out of a job or going to be out of a job sooner rather than later that they could dangle. But it doesn't seem like the 49ers don't need a left tackle. That's what Dan Moore is, but it doesn't seem like Daniels has piqued their interest either. So, yeah, the Steelers don't have a whole lot of extra parts. You know, this is a team that's trying to build itself up, and they don't have overwhelming depth anywhere.
Alan, we got to run, bro. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, bro. That's our guy, Alan Saunders. Give him a follow at @AlanSaunders_PGH. Knows the Steelers backwards and forwards. When we come back, injury news for another rookie quarterback. Don't go anywhere. All right, folks. We are consumed with the Washington Commanders, all things burgundy and gold.
Yes.
But I hate this story. My big board, my quarterback big board, I still had Caleb 1. I had Jaden 2. I really like J.J. McCarthy. Okay. That would have been my third quarterback off the board.
All right.
J.J. McCarthy now needs knee surgery, man.
What is it? Is it just like a meniscus or something minor or something major?
There's a tear in his right meniscus.
Okay.
So he needs surgery, but there's no real answer on how long he'll need.
It can be 2-3 weeks. It could be 2 months.
I'm reading for Kevin Seifert, our guy that covers the Vikes for ESPN. A decision will be made at the time of the operation whether McCarthy's meniscus requires a trimming or a complete repair, which will determine the length of his recovery. He complained about knee soreness over the weekend after the first preseason game, had the MRI last night. I think at this point, if he's having a knee surgery to determine what surgery has to happen next, it's at least he's not going to play week one, right?
Nah, he's not.
Lanville, do you know then who will be the starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings week one of the 2024 season?
Yeah, it could be a week one. Let me think back now.
I do.
About 3 weeks from now.
And I feel bad for the people of Minnesota. They didn't do anything to deserve this.
It's one of Lanville's favorite quarterbacks.
Who's that?
Sam Darnold.
Oh, boy. I'm kind of on Lanville's side. I didn't wish that. I wouldn't wish that on my enemies.
I wonder if – I like Kevin O'Connell. You got Justin Jefferson. Just throw the ball to him 100 times. I'll be interesting how Darnold looks, man, if it is Darnold. I mean, first we hope J.J.'s okay.
Yeah.
It's interesting, too, the way they're describing the J.J. McCarthy injury. And, Brian, I don't know anything ever, right? But the way Dan Quinn talked about the Jordan McGee injury,
the
fifth-round linebacker out of Temple, that, you know, you got to get some testing done and then you work on it. Like, most things with a knee, if it's a ligament, you know. Mm-hmm. ACL, MCL, LCL, like, you know what happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the meniscus, there's a lot more variety of what can happen.
True.
And so it's, in a way, good news for the Vikes that maybe it's not that big of a deal. We'll kind of see. Hate to hear it, though. In New York, we also have injury news for the New York football Giants. Tyrone Tracy, rookie running back for the Giants, ankle injury. They had to put an air cast on him. He had to get a cart to take him off the field. You know, this is the time of year where the injuries start to pile up.
Yep.
Malik Nabers, dude, had a MRI and stuff, and it ended up being okay. They're saying they don't expect him to – he's out of practice for a while, but they don't expect the injury to be long-term. Dude, cool. The Giants tried to rebuild their O-line. John Runyon Jr. and Evan Neal are kind of working their way back. Listen, man, the injury bug comes everywhere, but it seems like it's hitting the Giants fairly hard.
Yes.
Seems like it's hitting the Niners pretty hard. There's a lot going on out there in these NFL streets.
In these streets. But, you know, like the thing, like this time of the year, every little injury, especially a knee, we're going to take it serious. He can probably play that first week with a meniscus tear.
Would you play a rookie on a meniscus tear?
Depending on.
Like, I wonder if Darnold.
Once they go in and they see what they have to do, you know, then it comes down with a meniscus. Normally, it comes down to what's your pain threshold? You know what I mean? Because some, like, we've seen guys with a torn meniscus not miss a game. they get that thing wrapped up, put a brace on, and play. Now, long term, you want to see what's going to happen with him. You got these doctors that come out and tell you, oh, if we shave it a little bit, he's got to deal with a little pain, but he could be back in 3-4 weeks. Or somebody may say, we got to go, like you said, go in there and completely repair it. That may take a month, month and a half, 2 months.
Do you think, though, I think there was at least a real question if they were going to go with McCarthy right away or roll with Darnold right away. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So,
well, if you had that question, this now helps you to lean towards Darnold and allow him to get healthy, because he showed you in the first game he could play.
Yeah.
Because I think long-term is McCarthy, not Darnold.
Oh, for sure. Nicky Jabala, Washington Post, joins us next. Then we're going to try to go all the way around the league. There is news all over this NFL, and we got to check in on the Nats-O's Beltway Series starts tonight. Nobody go anywhere.